Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
There on WNYC, and some of you may be interested in my Wednesday night television show where web video meets the issues. Tonight's videos, Michelle Obama take note, include an animated history of White House vegetable gardens, now that she's going to have the first one since Eleanor Roosevelt. That's tonight at 7:30 on CUNY TV, Channel 75, on the New York City cable systems. The New York City Police Department announced plans 3 years ago for a network of 3,000 surveillance cameras monitoring Manhattan below Canal Street. Modeled after the so-called Ring of Steel in London, the NYPD is arguing that this system is necessary to prevent future terrorist attacks in the Wall Street and World Trade Center area. Some people have privacy concerns. So last month, the NYPD released a draft version of public security privacy guidelines for this project. And the deadline for public comment is actually tomorrow. I was saying today, but the deadline is tomorrow. So we wanted to go over the program with you having a little time yet to comment and look at the privacy measures proposed. Maybe you'll want to comment after this. Joining me now is investigative reporter Ali Winston, who's been covering Manhattan's new Ring of Steel for City Limits magazine. Ali, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
And remind us what this is. They also call it the domain of awareness. What kind of surveillance is involved?
Well, the system that's monitoring, that will take all the data in from the cameras, is called the Domain Awareness System. That's the system of data collection and analysis. That's basically the software that's used in conjunction with these 3,000 cameras, of which about two-thirds, 2,000 cameras, are private cameras that are being incorporated into the NYPD surveillance network.
And the technology they propose to use to analyze the surveillance video seems pretty advanced. There are behavioral recognition cameras, data mining software, biometric scanners. I don't know what half this stuff means. What is a behavioral recognition camera?
First of all, it's not clear what technology is being used with this system. The only thing that the privacy guidelines state is that facial recognition software will not be used in conjunction with with the domain awareness system. However,
what's the difference between a photo of you and facial recognition of you?
Facial recognition is a type of software that works with the geometries of an individual's face, and it analyzes a particular pattern and, by doing that, it can narrow a image taken from either a surveillance camera or a still image and match it up against an image that's provided, say, from a driver's license or a passport photo or so on.
And why is that controversial?
That's controversial because some people characterize that as unwarranted surveillance. The technology can be used to target people. It's an invasion of privacy. And, I mean, this software is being used right now in China, in cities like Shenzhen and Beijing, where American companies, American contractors have developed this software. They put it in play for the 2008 Olympics, and that software has been rolling out for the past few years. So it does alarm privacy advocates. It's a sort of panopticon idea.
And what about behavioral recognition cameras? Is that different from just taking a video of your behavior?
Well, behavioral recognition software is another software that's being tested out in it's been tested in American airports. It's not used. We have no idea whether it is or is not being used with the domain awareness system. But there is, again, a stipulation in the draft guidelines that says they will support the integration of new security technology. That remains undefined. Behavioral recognition software is software that identifies people who will, you know, are acting suspicious at airports, are, you know, sweating a little bit too much, moving around in herky-jerky patterns. Just people who look like they have something to hide, or it's all very unclear.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us about the public security privacy guidelines. They lay out various kinds of data, in this proposal, data that they'll gather and how long they will keep the data, what they call pre-archival. Most of it will be kept active for 30 days. And then what? What's important here?
Well, what's important here, they do mention the fact that video will be kept for 30 days and then erased unless it is determined to be of interest and, you know, has been signed off on by the Deputy Commissioner for Counterterrorism. Metadata, which is a kind of undefined category, it includes, I guess, a timestamp, background information from the video. It's not, really not clear what that data category is. That can be retained for 5 years. And the license plate, data from license plate readers can be retained for 5 years. Environmental data gathered from radio, from radiation and environmental sensors can be retained indefinitely and will be retained indefinitely. So there's various categories, and not all of them are exactly are cut and dry. And we don't know exactly what they are.
And maybe they'll get dumped on a in a box on Atlantic Avenue for people to find. Who knows? But maybe one of the most controversial things in these guidelines is that the NYPD says it will share the data and video with third parties if it's in the interest of law enforcement or public safety, or if required by law, subpoena, or other court processes. Those are pretty broad limits. Do they get more specific?
No, they don't get more specific. I mean, what these third parties are the so-called stakeholders are entities that have their own security cameras that are part of this system. So the 2,000 other cameras, aside from the ones that the police department are installing themselves, these 2,000 cameras belong to companies that are within this 1.7 square mile area. So their representatives will have access to this information according to the guidelines set out by memoranda of understanding signed between these stakeholders and the NYPD. Whether these memoranda will be made public or whatnot, that has not been disclosed yet.
You know, there was an article in the Times today, you probably saw it, about surveillance cameras being used as evidence against police officers who are accused of abuse or other misconduct. Can this data be used in cases such as that?
Well, it would have to be procured by a lawyer if somebody's filing a lawsuit. And there have been problems with the city turning over data gathered by law enforcement or, I guess, other public cameras that would be filed against police officers. For example, in several instances involving suits against New York City school safety agents, the Department of Education has either lost data or claimed it was erased, and this has been an ongoing issue in terms of how this sort of information is retained. But yes, people should be able to get their hands on it.
Somebody on our comments page notes that this is how the East River tolls would be collected. Similar kinds of cameras rather than old-fashioned toll booths. And Clark on our website writes, the argument that it prevents crime is complete balderdash. The UK has had cameras for years and crime continues to occur. It prevents nothing. Here's hoping the economy cuts budgets for the over-policing and surveillance by the NYPD. Do they take lessons, or do you take lessons in your investigative report for City Limits from London or any other use of this kind of system?
Well, to date, there has been no evidence that surveillance cameras reduce any sort of violent crime. They do reduce property crime by a marginal 5%, 10%. But at the same time, studies by the University of California, Berkeley, of San Francisco Police Department cameras have shown no reduction in violent crime. The same applies for a recent NYU study of CCTV cameras in Stuyvesant Town and Peter Cooper Village. But there have been no studies about the impact of cameras on terrorism. That said, the 2005 attacks in the London subways and the London Underground were captured on camera. The cameras did not prevent the attacks.
And, of course, you can't measure what attacks or crimes didn't occur because people thought they may get caught. It's interesting to note that New York recently canceled the January 2010 Police Academy class and will go through this year with fewer officers on the street but more cameras. So there's a resource shift in this direction. And in terms of property crime or people's interest in this, I mean, you know, these kinds of cameras go up in every co-op and condo in New York City, it seems like. So stakeholders, private companies and others do this on their own. Stakeholders are willing to contribute money to this NYPD plan. Who's really at risk here? Who should be afraid, in your opinion and in our last minute, other than people who are really out to do no good? Because I'll bet a lot of listeners are hearing this and saying, well, yeah, it's kind of a lot, but I think it's going to make me safer, and I'm not at risk for being a victim of these in any way unless I do something wrong.
Well, I mean, that's part of the problem. We are living in a society right now where every you have the premonition that, you know, you're guilty until proven innocent. The real problem here is that no one knows who these stakeholders are, or what sort of use they'll put this information to. Are they putting it to, will they be putting it to commercial uses? Will they be using it for advertising purposes? Will they be using it to keep their own database on?
There are no formal restrictions on those things.
We see nothing about that in these guidelines. One more thing is that these guidelines are not a legally binding document. These are guidelines that can shift at the whim of the police commissioner.
People can comment until tomorrow. How do they do that, real quick?
They can send an email to the counterterrorism department at oct@nypd.org, or they can mail them to New York City Police Department, Attention Counterterrorism Bureau at 1 Police Plaza, New York, New York, 10038.
Ali Winston from City Limits Magazine, thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thanks so much, Brian.
And listeners, as we go out here, you can still participate in our March Economy Madness brackets. Who would you put in your final four as game-changing villains who sank the economy? Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show.